Matthew chapter 8. We'll be looking at some facts about healing. And last week we said that it's important for us to continually learn God's word so that we can have active faith along these lines. You know, in whatever area of the truth you consistently pay attention to, in that particular area, your faith will be active. You know, people have asked me before that, Pastor, I seem to have strong faith in the area of supernatural protection, but I don't seem to have strong faith when it gets to finances. The reason is not that God gives you special faith for protection and give you ordinary faith for finances. It simply means that that is the area in which you have been hearing God's word more. And you know, we can be lopsided in our approach to God's word. Our basic text for the midweek service is teaching on certain facts about healing, and incidentally the one on Saturdays too is really the same thing, but we're just giving a slightly different approach those 2 days. And that's Proverbs 4 and verse 20, when it says, "My son, attend to my words." Now again, may you're reading that in the light of the New Testament, because again, that's the writer of Proverbs. The person that wrote the book of Proverbs was brought up under the law. So if you don't understand that, there are certain aspects of Proverbs that you read, you may be misled. Okay? You need to understand what he's trying to teach, because he was brought up under the law. I hope you know the king in Israel in those days was required to know the Torah by heart. Okay, so the wisdom that Solomon had was wisdom to use the knowledge of the Torah to bring forth Proverbs. So he was communicating the Torah in Proverbs. The law of Moses was being communicated in Proverbs. So there are some things there that are not consistently true with the spirit of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? So when we get the opportunity to look at that book, we will see the areas where. But there are some things that are key, because even in the Old Testament, God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. It's our understanding that has improved. So he says, "My son." So when you read that now, look at the father of spirits. Who is the father of your spirits now telling you, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my word, saints. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So notice, the word "find" has to be a reference to the culmination of that process. It's describing a process. It says, when you attend to my words, the way you attend is you incline your ear. The word "incline," a more contemporary version, means to glue your ear deliberately. Okay? It doesn't mean something passive, something active. You glue your ear to God's word. Let me put it, you make yourself to hear God's word. You make yourself hear God's word. There are two ways you do that. The one that everybody knows about, listening to teachings. The second one is, it must be coming from your mouth. It says, "My son, attend to my words." And it is what you attend to that you can declare your ears to. It says, "Let them not depart from your eyes." It means it must form an image by keeping them in the midst of your heart. It says, "They are life unto those that want find." So the finding means the written word, which was originally spoken, now comes to you in the original format in which it was. Let me say that again. Say with me, the written word was first spoken before it was written. It was written so that it can be spoken. Hallelujah. So it was first spoken, then it was written, and it is written so that it can be what? Spoken. If God is a speaking God, and man created after God's image, is also what? A speaking being. That's important. So it says, "My son, attend to my words." God's words are spiritual realities. When they come into a man's heart, they create images. The reality of the words in the human heart, it creates images. So he says, that means what I want to do, or what I've said is a reality, you begin to see that reality where it matters most, on the inside. The heart. How do you do that? Attend, incline, don't let them depart. So we have attend, incline your ear, don't let them depart from your eyes, keep them where? in the midst of your heart. For they are. This is what they will produce. So, God's word, which is not physical nature, spiritual material, enters the heart of man, and by a supernatural process, becomes health to man's flesh. So, if you receive God's word for now, that word cannot be held to your flesh naturally, except it passes through your heart. So it's saying, when your heart finishes processing God's word, it will process it in the way in which it can be applicable to the body. It will be held to what? All your flesh. Hallelujah. And you know the Bible says that with the heart, man what? Believeth. So obviously, the process talking about is a process where you see what God says. You can see what God is saying. You first hear what God is saying. Then you see what God is saying. Then you experience what God is saying. That's what he's trying to say there. Hallelujah. So, my son, attend. That's why the area where you spend time hearing God's word in whatever area in your life, that's the area where your faith is most active. That's the area in which most active. It can be incidental or accidental. It can be something deliberate or something that just happens because of the people you're fellowship with. So, if for instance, now there's a lot of pressure on you financially and you start hearing God's word in that particular area, your faith will open up when it comes to finances. It's the same faith. You just naturally expect financial miracles and you'll be experiencing it. When it comes to financial protection, the boldness you have in that area has a lot to do with what were you, are you hearing when it comes to that particular area. Now, the same principle when it comes to the issue of healing. Most of the time, when you need healing and you are quickly looking for scriptures to quote, it usually doesn't work because you need to give your heart time for images to be painted. Most of you have to give your heart time. That's why it looks as though, Pastor, I laid my hands on myself, I confess God's word. You are doing things in a rush. At that time, you are not settled enough to receive the benefit of what you are saying. You know, it's like this. Someone who has been going 100 miles in a particular direction, if you start applying brake because you want to go to the other direction, if you start applying brake, when you apply brake, that is, you stop accelerating. Anybody that knows how to drive, you know what I'm talking about. Even when you stop accelerating, if you don't press the brake, the car, the momentum you already generated, will keep the car going in that same direction, but you have stopped accelerating. But nobody can tell that you have stopped accelerating. All they see is that the vehicle is moving in the same direction, but you know you have stopped accelerating. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, when you're speaking God's word in that line, contrary to what you were speaking before, you have stopped accelerating in the wrong direction, but the vehicle is still moving. The body is going there. It will take a while for the vehicle to stop before it now starts going where? In the opposite direction. In other words, when do you start going in the opposite direction? When the confession of God's word from your lips becomes natural to you. How many of you know when you're practicing, when you're confessing God's word, it doesn't look natural? It's like it's something forced or practiced. And that's when the momentum is still going. Okay? After a while, the car gets to a halt, run out of momentum. It now starts moving in the right direction. It takes a while. When it starts getting that right, that's when the confession of God's word becomes what? Natural to you. So it says, they are life unto those that find them. So when you were inclining your ear, when you were attending, you were inclining your ear, you didn't allow them to depart. Nothing was happening yet. No change as of yet. Let me put it that way. It now says, keep them in the midst of your heart. That's the command center. It is then that there's a finding. A finding means you see what God is saying as your reality. It is now becomes held to where all your flesh. Matthew 8. Now, so that's really not where we're going today, but I just want us to see that this is why the scripture goes along with Matthew 8. Are you there? Verse 16. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and bare our what? Sicknesses. And we said last week that the healing power that Jesus manifested to heal men's bodies was a pointer to something greater. It was a pointer to men's spirits that will be healed, which takes power. So you can say the healing of a man's body and the forgiveness of man's sins are synonymous. A man's sicknesses can be healed and his sins are not forgiven. But if a man's sins are forgiven, he automatically has in his account what? Healing of all sickness. Do you agree with that? So if Jesus did something as a pointer to a greater reality, he healed men's sicknesses to show that he's the one that will bear it in his body. He's the one that will bear it. Because at the root of sickness is a spiritual reality, the reality of sin. He now says that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bare our what? Sicknesses. So Jesus healed sicknesses to show how God will heal a man's spirit through the new birth. Now, in that same Matthew 8, I'm going to read from verse 5. Notice something. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, then came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. We're looking at certain facts about healing. It says, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, let me say this as we go on so that we don't forget that point. In the ministry of Jesus, if you observe through the four Gospels, you will notice that Jesus' strongest way of ministering healing seems to be by physical contact, by the laying on of hands. Either he touches people or people touch him. That seems to be his strongest means of healing. So Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Where is a man's initial faith in demonstration? My servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. I beseech thee. Okay? Look at that verse there. Beseech him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Okay? Next verse. And Jesus said unto him, I will what? I will come and heal him. Now, here is where the reason why this man's peculiar case was recorded. He is asking for somebody who is not present. Jesus assumes that the man is saying he's at home. Now, if the master comes and says, my servant is at home, that must be a treasure servant for the master to come. So the master's faith could be seen, Father, I came to Jesus so he can heal my servant. Then look at what Jesus said. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What was Jesus coming to do? To heal the servant at home. Then the man said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. In other words, Jesus, what you will do if you come is what your word will do. What you will do when you come is what your word will do. How did you arrive at that conclusion? Look at the man's explanation. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, why is Jesus using this illustration? He's telling you Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are in the kingdom because of their faith. So he's trying to make a distinction, because some of you are natural descendants of Abraham, and you think by being natural descendants you qualify. You don't qualify. There are other people that will qualify by their faith, just like this man is qualifying, because this man is not an Israelite. And he had just qualified to receive by faith. That's what he's saying. He now says, verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into what? So contextually, what's the children of the kingdom here? Those whom it was first offered. Who are those? Israelites. It was offered to them. Did they accept it? No. It was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Okay? But to as many as received him, to them gave he what? The right to become the sons of God by faith. By faith. They came by faith. So he says, verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou as what? Believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. When looking at certain facts about healing, or how the healing power of God works, this is crucial, this particular text, because notice the man began to say, this is how I arrived at my understanding. I'm a man under authority, I have servants. I say to this one, go, and he goeth. I don't push this one to go. I say. or my authority is seen in my words. I exercise my authority by my words. I say to this one, go, and he goes. Let me say it another way. When I say to this one, go, I don't go and check if he has gone. He goes because I'm a man under authority. I know how authority works. Authority works with words. So when I say to this one, go, he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. So he was telling Jesus, that's why I said, speak the word only. One more Jesus' offer, I will come and heal him. I am the embodiment of power. Before the centurion came, he must have had something. What did he hear? Well, Luke chapter 4. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. Is that another word for custom? Sorry? Tradition. Okay. What else? Practice. Okay. Practice. As his practice. So this is a regular practice. This is what Jesus does. And we said something on Saturday. It's interesting for us to understand when we say to see how does the power of God work. Because as you follow these details, you will see something interesting. Do you know if God can force salvation of men, nobody will be unsaved? If it was possible, God would have explored that possibility. If it was possible to get everybody saved or force it on people, God would have done it. Because there's no shortness of willingness. God will have all men to be saved and to come to know the other truth. That's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. God will have all men to be saved. That is his willingness. He is willing that all men be saved, but he cannot force salvation of men. There is a part that men have to play. It is called believing. It's called believing. So in Luke chapter 4, this is Jesus. The preceding verse says that, and Jesus, there went out a fame about him all over the land. So his fame has begun to teach. The Spirit of God was upon him. The fame went out. What was Jesus' custom when he gets to any locality? What was the normal practice? This is what Jesus does. Was he anointed? Yes. Were they witnesses of when he was anointed? No. So how would they know that the power is present? It can't be by feeling. It can't be by feeling. We're going to look at one or two cases now. You see that you cannot tell that God's power is present strictly by feeling. Because the power can be present and there will be no feeling whatsoever. Whatsoever. So it says, when he came, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. If you understand what that means, it was a custom. Everybody sits in the synagogue. If you want to read, you signify your intention by standing up. Then they will give the book to you to read. You will read from where the other person stopped. So if you're not going to read, you don't stand up. You just sit down. It wasn't, so when you want to read, how do you show you want to read? It's not by doing like this. You stand up. When you stand up, they will acknowledge you. They give you the book. So see what it says. And when he had, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was what? Written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And he closed the book. So, it's interesting. Jesus did selective reading. Selective reading. He closed the book because the next part of that prophecy is not meant to be read by Jesus. Because Isaiah now wrote the day of vengeance of the Lord. Jesus did not read that part. That's not part of what we came to do now. The time of vengeance is not yet. What is he quoting? What is happening now? That message is also called, this is the acceptable year, means the year of Jubilee. Where things are given freely. Sins are remitted, sins are forgiven, men are set free from every kind of bondage, and that takes an anointing. Look at the next verse. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled. Where is scripture fulfilled? Where is scripture fulfilled? Where is it fulfilled? In your nose? In your eyes? In your ears. Why is he preaching? So that they can hear. Because that's how men get to believe. He had to see it so that they will hear it. I And when they hear it, there is a reaction on the inside of them. Saying it is how men become aware. Now, notice this is where he has been brought up. Where you are brought up is the one place where you are likely to be most despised. And yet, this is the Messiah promised in the scriptures. Why is he saying it? This is how to get men to realize you are not looking at an ordinary person. The Spirit of God is what? Upon me. Now, let me ask you a question. If you can tell the Spirit of God is upon him, will you need to announce it? He didn't answer. If I can tell the Spirit of God is upon you, will I need to announce it? No. He will need to announce it. Why are you announcing? I'm announcing to let you be aware of unseen realities. As I'm standing, the Spirit of God is upon me. You can see it, you have to believe it for it to work. How do we know that Jesus wasn't going about with the power in full charge all the time? Because many times he was in the midst of a crowd. Listen, after this sermon, they took Jesus to the cliff to throw him off. His power is very strong in manifestation as you're holding him. Electric bolt will pass through your body. You know, you captured Jesus. They were going to throw him down from the cliff, and he's anointed. And he had just announced he's anointed. But when they held him, they couldn't feel anything. Because you only feel it by faith. I hope you know he was anointed without measure. So if you've seen anybody anointed, how many people have you seen who are anointed? Okay, Dr. Benin, just do like this. All of you will fall. That's anointing. Jesus was anointed without measure. He doesn't need to do like this. Just cough. All of you plus the chair will go if necessary. And they took Jesus to throw him off the cliff. What does that tell you? When they held him, they couldn't feel anything. Because you are meant to pick that up by faith. So can the power of God be present and you won't feel? Yes. In God's wisdom, God wants you to recognize his power, not primarily by feeling, even though feeling is fine, but by faith. So he kept announcing everywhere he went. In fact, if you go further, before he got to this point, he gave me a Bible. Say, you will say unto me this proverb, physician. Please let me go back to that verse. See what Jesus said. You will say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatever you've done, okay? Physician, heal yourself. Whatever you've heard you did in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Look at what Jesus said to them. He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Next verse. I will tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, yeah? But unto none of them was a sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Next verse. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving who? Naaman the Syrian. Do you know what Jesus is saying when he says sent? Don't think in English. Oh. If you're thinking in English, you say that God told Elijah to go to a particular widow. He didn't tell him to go to another person. That's not what he's saying, no. Because if God tells you to go to a particular person, the person still has to believe. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So if God told Elijah, go to the widow, and the widow does not cooperate, will anything happen? Did she cooperate? So what did she do? She believed. There were many lepers. None of them was healed except Naaman. What does that tell you? Naaman came to Elisha. The other lepers in Israel did not come to Elisha. That's what he's telling you. Do you understand something? So, what the Naaman here that made Naaman come, a little girl told Naaman, if you get to Israel, there were lepers in Israel. They did not receive what Naaman received because they did not act. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said in them? If you believe, you'll be healed right now. Don't say, what can I do? It is, what can you believe? That's what Jesus said. Don't say, what can I do? Say, we have had you do many works. Do the same here. It's not about doing. I did those things there because they believed. I will do the same here if you believe. That's what Jesus was saying. So a man comes to Jesus and says, speak the word only. Whatever the power of God will do, his word will also do. As I'm speaking to you tonight, you can be healed where you're seated without being touched. And you can decide, I won't be healed until I'm touched. You have that leverage, that amount of control over God's power. The man said, you don't need to come to my house. Why would Jesus marvel? Oh, this is a man that understands that the authority of God's power is in words. You know, it's interesting. As a pastor, I prayed for people, laid hands, nothing happened. And I've spoken to people over the phone, and they never saw, and they were healed over the phone. Because the same power can be conveyed by words. What's the difference? What the people were believing. People call you. Sometimes we ask, if you are not believing, don't call your pastor. If you are not believing, call him for comfort and encouragement so you can believe. But if you are not believing, don't do it. Try and eat. Because other people who are not that close to him are getting healed and they are receiving. But don't try to just like, okay, maybe you want somebody to cry with you. Because the truth of the matter is that crying with you will not solve the situation. If you're going to call, make sure you call because you believe that if a word of prayer is said, I think I was saying something some weeks back about a particular individual, I said that it's not an exaggeration. There is no time he calls that I pray for him that doesn't get well. Every single time. Without every single time. It's a state of the heart. Because God's word is no respecter of persons. And God's power is no respecter of persons. So it's a posture of the heart. Your posture is, if you can, they brought a lady over a year or two ago. They were complaining on the phone. They went to about 4 or 5 hospitals. She was experiencing stages of paralysis. Pain was continuous. Gave her all kinds of medication. The husband came and was telling me how much they had already spent. And she told the husband that, you know what, just take me to pastor. It was a midweek, during the week, an office day. He just came. Nobody was there. We just sat here. I shared some things with them. And everything took about 10 to 15 minutes. I laid hands, spoke to certain parts of my body. I said, get up now. Walk around now. Every symptom. I'm talking about hospitals they've been to. You can't get to the bottom of the pain. Sometimes a demon is involved. I hope you know if a demon is involved. Microscope cannot pick demon. Microscope can't pick demon. Medical test, blood sample. Because blood sample, the equipment cannot pick demon in the blood. Because it's not in the blood. Hallelujah. It's not in the blood. There's no medical equipment that's designed to pick that one. You have to design that by the Spirit. But I'm just saying that they made up their mind, once we get here, we'll be well. And the power of God is such that man can use it the way he decides to use it. I never forgot the story I heard about Dr. Oral Roberts before the pastor. Now, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The man said, you don't need to come to my house. Speak the word only. Now, I'm not saying I came to receive healing for my servant. And this is how I want to receive the healing. Can a man do that? Yes. Speak the word only. Your words will convey what your hands will convey. That's what the man was saying. So, live broadcast. Robert used to have live broadcast then. He said, by the Spirit of God, he just said, wherever you are right now, I want you to touch the screen of your TV, wherever you are. And whatever the ailment is, it will be healed. There was a crippled man in a wheelchair watching him who believed that God would heal him that day. But he was far away from the TV. He was far away from the TV. What did the man of God say? I want you to believe right now and receive. Touch the screen. I'll join my faith with yours that the power of God will reach you. Now, the man can be in America, or he was in America that time. And then the people that are watching him can watch him from Russia, France, you understand, China. I mean, even though, no. So, the power of God is not limited by distance. If I let me say it this way. If the power you are receiving is coming through the TV screen, that means it's not limited by time. You didn't get what I said? It's not limited by time. If you can get it through the TV screen, it means even time and distance is not an issue. It's the power of God. But that's the instruction the man of God gave. This man was far away from the television. He was in a wheelchair. Like this centurion, that man now said, I believe according to what the man of God said, that if I touch this fridge. Did the man of God say fridge? He said TV. Here's the issue. There's no difference between TV and fridge. Touch something. He converted what the man said. As long as I believe in his words, if I touch anything as a point of contact, I'll be healed. Because the TV can heal. It's the word spoken by the man of God that heals. Say amen. That he was far away from the TV. So he was like, you know what? This fridge is here. I believe that I touch this fridge, I'll be healed. He touched the fridge and walked out of the wheelchair. Now, if he had had that instruction long before and had acted, he would have walked out days, weeks, or years before. Because God is not the one that set the date. What happened that day was that there was a hearing of faith. The man had something he didn't hear before. He understood it the way he didn't understand it before. That was what happened. And on that day, he received God's power. It wasn't that God did not, God had wanted to heal him since. But like I said, if God can heal a man at any time he wants, irrespective of the man's faith, he will have healed everybody. Because that same power works the same way the same power works. You can't force people to be saved. You can't also force people to be healed. There's even a limit to which you can carry people on your faith when you want to get them healed. There's a time when I can help you with my faith. The time comes when I will tell you, you have to use your own faith. The centurion came for the servant, speak the word only. The Bible says that he was healed that same hour. What was Jesus' response? As you have believed. As a statement. As you have believed. What happened to that man in the wheelchair? As you have believed. What will determine how God's power will work? As you have what? Believed. I didn't man say that I've prayed, I've confessed, I did everything. I didn't get any better. And I just told myself, I'm going to pray for 2 hours tonight. And after I pray for 2 hours, that will be it. You know what the person was doing? Hooking up his faith with a particular time. I will be healed. Once I finish praying, I will be healed. The man prayed, did not check symptoms, went to sleep, woke up completely well. Completely well. As you have believed, be it done unto. Let me put it this way. If it's the power of God, the only limitation is the limitation you place on it. If the limitation you place on it is, until they touch me, I won't be healed. You will not be healed until they touch you. If your limitation is that, if once I hear the voice on the phone, because it is God's healing power, it is man that gives direction to that power. I had the story of a woman several years ago. Well, it's actually a man spoke about the issue of his mom and his wife. They had issues with conception. And the mom was staying with them, believing God with them that as a couple they will get pregnant. So, and after a while, the mother started going blind. So now, that's two different things to deal with. You are using your faith to trust God for conception. Year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, year 6, year 7, year 8. Then your mother starts going blind. You know, you want to divert your faith so that the woman will not go blind. So they have something extra to deal with. And if you don't know how God's power works, you'll be thinking, with everything we are handling. You know, sometimes you can have your faith to the point where you feel like, I can't take any more load on this one. I'm ready. So, the man saw something. He just saw something in God's word. He came out and told the mom, Mom, I want you to say with me that I will see my grandchildren. I will see my grandchild and my grandchildren. I will see my grandchildren. The woman did not fully understand, but she kept saying it. I will see. Not that I will just carry. I will see. What was wrong? The woman couldn't see after a while. She wasn't, and it was going progressively worse. Now, they also had also hooked up their faith to the fact that they were going to have a child. Shortly, the wife got pregnant. The day the baby came home from the hospital and they placed the baby in the mother's hands, her eyes opened. And she saw. What would you call that? A miracle. Who said the law? The man. To the woman. Just say, I will see my child. I will see my child. Her eyes opened the day they brought the child home and they placed the child in their hands. Why? It's a law. Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, as you have believed. Not as I have proposed. There's God proposing. There's man what? Believing. Man's believing sets the pace, sets the time, even sets the how. That's so important. Sets the how. So it is perfectly normal for you to say. You see, that's what people don't understand. You can say, when I come to service on Sunday during praise worship, is God strong during praise worship? No, you are strong. Because you are more conscious of God. You can say that. They asked a man of God one day, said that you announced on radio that there will be great miracles in the crusade you are holding at the stadium. You announced on radio. So he even said that the first blind man to come to that stadium, when he gets there, he will see. Say, how did you know? He said, I was using faith. Because he said, we heard testimonies that some people came that were blind. And before you mounted the pulpit, they were already seen. Because they believed what you said. And when they got to the stadium, now, before the man preached, they were seen. That means it was not the man that brought the power. The power was present. Those people received because they followed the instruction. When you get there, the first person to get there, you will see. And they started seeing at the stadium. Because faith is conveyed by words. That's so important. Authority, when it comes to faith, is conveyed by words. You know, Jesus said to us, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be that what? Removed, be that cast into the sea, shall not doubt in such, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. And that's why it's good. When you are experiencing, you know, let me put it this way. When we say, have a culture of using your words regularly in the area of healing, deliberately. You may be feeling, you may be in so much pain that you feel like telling people. But there's the issue. If I ask you how you're feeling, I know you can tell me is that you're in terrible pain and you don't say anything with respect to God's word after, you will stay in terrible pain. Someone says, why? Are you saying it as it is? Yes. But nobody survives by saying it as it is. You hear what I said? Nobody survives by saying that it is. You know, you say that, let us face reality. I don't want that kind of reality. Pastor is the only reality. The way my head defines, my head wants to fall off. You are not the only one. Even the pastor that's talking to you, his head may feel like it will fall off. But the pastor is telling you, I am healed. I believe God's power is working my body. That's what I believe. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 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 you are big o, mountain. Is that what Jesus said? That is what it amounts to when you are feeling bad, you are feeling pain, and you keep saying, my head, in fact, only God knows how I will survive. The way my head just wants to fall off, this headache, may it not kill me. You are magnifying the mountain. Jesus didn't say the mountain is not there. He said, say what you want to happen to the mountain, to happen to it. Mountain be thou removed. That's what he said. He needs to admire the mountain. He needs to clap for the mountain. He needs to celebrate the mountain. Caress the mountain. Tell the mountain to go. So, somebody says, Pastor, are you not saying we should deny the way we feel? No. I'm saying you should agree with God's word. If you are going to tell us how you feel, please remember to tell us what God's word's power is doing in your body too. That's what now you're feeling. I believe God's power is working in my body. You see that? We know everything. Because when we asked you, Pastor, how are you feeling? It was because the way your eyes were red. And the way you were shaking, even though you were wearing 3 shirts, we know you are feeling feverish. But we want to hear what you will say, because that's how you move mountains. I believe God's power is working in my body. That is the reality you really want. If you follow those who tell you, let us face, you will die before your time. You're saying God's word in line with what you believe, and people will query you and question you. In this country, things are working for my good. Because we already know that these are not working. That's not news. What people may not know is that when it comes to you, the favor of God stands you out. That is what you need to put on your lips, because that is what will now be your reality. You don't need any effort to hear of our terrible sicknesses. It's all over the place. What you need your faith to do is to accept what God has said concerning it. I believe God's power is working in my body. Don't say, in fact, I'm telling you, since last week I went to the doctor, it has grown worse. No. Don't feed the wrong things. Feed healing in your body with the right words. Words that have to do with God's power. The man said, speak the word only. Why should you speak the word only? Jesus said, as you have believed. So what you are saying should be a reflection of what you believe. You know, you will speak less if you practice economy of kingdom speech, that it is only what you believe that you say. Oh, many of us will. Our conversation will not be long again. the only things you say are the things. How many of you know? The only things you say are the things you believe. Your conversation will be short. In fact, some people, gossip will just dry up. Because you are not meant to say what you don't believe. Only what you believe is what you say. That's what it means. So it's important that you and I realize that God's power is conveyed through the words that we speak. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. He departed, verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Next verse. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him, greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed." And the word "shall" is the strongest assertion in English language. Was this man in faith? Yes. What did he? How did he come to Jesus with words? "Come, lay your hands; she shall live." How terrible the situation! Very terrible. He didn't deny the situation. He only denied the situation the right to prevail. "Come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall." That means once your hand touches her, what will happen to the daughter? She will live. What was his fate? His fate is in the hands of Jesus. If you place your hands on my daughter, what will happen to my daughter? She will live. What did the centurion say? "Speak the word only." What did this man say? "Lay your hands." What did Jesus say to the centurion? "As you have believed." So what is controlling how God's power manifests? God or men who believe? Thank you. Can you see how healing follows different pathways depending on the faith of the individual? What is your own faith hinged on? The words you're speaking give direction to God's power that is present in any environment. The words you're speaking. So this man saw Jesus. Who is Jesus? The power of God on two legs. What do you know about Jesus? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost of power. Who went about doing good. That word "went about," now we now know why he was going about. I like when one preacher said, he was going about to see those who believed. He went about trying to locate those who believed. And wherever people believed, and when he was walking about, if you say he was going about, if you don't read that very well, you think he was just going about saying, "Receive, receive." Everybody there, link your hands, "Receive." No. He was going about. And what was interrupting his going about or calling his attention was those who believed. As he was going about one day, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, heard, he couldn't see, that Jesus was passing by. So Jesus would have passed him by, but he had. People were following Jesus. A multitude was there. Jesus was not holding a healing service. He was passing by. Maybe that's where they got that song. "Pass me not by gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry." I think that's where they got it. Because this was very humble cry. But Jesus was passing by. The man had. So the hearing made him aware of what was present. Jesus was passing by. He had. That same healer is passing by. He needs healing. People that were thronging Jesus, they obviously don't need healing. You know, some people saw Jesus as a notorious figure, a celebrity. That prophet is here. Let's follow him. Look at his fine garments. People came to Jesus for different things. So this man who couldn't see but could hear, he heard it was Jesus. Now, if you've never seen Jesus, you've heard of him. If your hearing is the hearing of faith, you will act on it. How many of you agree with that? "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Can you look at that story? Mark 10, I believe. 41. Look at Mark 10, 41. Okay, you are there. 47 now. Yeah, let's see from here. "And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of what? David, have mercy on me.'" Why was he crying out? Jesus was passing. Jesus wasn't coming to him. But Jesus was carrying power up and down. You know, I'm persuaded those who were following Jesus also needed healing. How come they didn't receive? They were not expecting to receive. So see what happened now. He says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but they cried the more greatly, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Next verse. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. He calls. I don't even know. People are wonderful. Every time I read this, that's what I just see. They just told him to shut up. It's not your kind they are looking for. Shut up. When he said shut up, the man increased his voice. When Jesus' attention was already on him, the same thing, you can come. He's even calling you. You better ignore the crowd and receive. The same people. The shut up. When Jesus goes, he's calling you. Oh, yeah, wipe your tears. He's calling you. As though they were on his side before. The same crowd of people. You know, he says, and he cast, this story is always interesting. He cast away his what? Garment, rose and came to. You know what it means to cast away his garment? They call him blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The garment he wore signified his blindness and his status as a beggar. If you don't believe you receive, you won't throw it away. You will never throw it away. So even in his action, the man knew it's today. And here's the interesting part. Jesus was passing by. So it wasn't Jesus who determined when he would get healed. It was a man because of what he had had. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with the power, who went about doing good, healing all. Notice this man was blind. That implies he didn't see Jesus do any miracle. He had never seen Jesus do any. He was blind. He only had. So there is another kind of eyes on the inside. How God anointed. You know, when Peter was quoting that statement in Acts 10:38, if you start from verse 35, it says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, Bartimaeus had that word. What was the word that God sent? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, which is power, and he went about healing, or doing good and healing. The good he did was to what? Heal. All that were oppressed of who? The devil. For God was. So who was doing the healing through Jesus? It was God. He went about. So in his going about, what was Jesus really looking for? Those that will believe and receive. He went about. So he was passing his locality by Jericho. A man had believed, he had heard, and the man called the attention of Jesus. He demonstrated he had faith in the actions he took. He removed the garment that signified his blindness and his beggarly status. Look at the next verse. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might want, receive my sight. Look at what Jesus said. Go your way. Your faith has made thee whole. And immediately. Now, I'm going to say something that you may not have noticed. If the man did not believe, nothing would have happened. Because Jesus put a condition on the manifestation of the power. Go your way. Your faith has what? Made you whole. What was the man's faith? How did Jesus know the man had faith? In what the man said. What do you want me to do? You want me to do something? What do you want me to do that I may receive my sight? Why just asking that question? I just saw you cast off the garment, signifying your beggarly status now. So obviously you believe that something's going to happen. What exactly do you want? Said, I said, go your way. Your faith has made you what? Whole. And immediately. Again, it didn't look like a day for healing. Please, brothers and sisters, never be deceived by any service in church. We're the ones that put a label teaching Sunday service. Every gathering of believers is a gathering of power. We're doing marriage seminar is a gathering of power. Choir rehearsal, ushers meeting. I'm just letting you know, this is how we, in our mind, have conditioned ourselves to ignore God's power. Do you know those people who said he is calling you were not aware of the power? And there was tremendous power able to open a blind man's eyes, and they didn't know. And Jesus did it in spite of their attitude. And the man received. So faith creates an atmosphere for God's power to work. I think you need to write that one down. Faith creates an atmosphere for God's power to work. Faith creates an atmosphere for God's power to work. So let's go back to Jairus now. I like this Jairus story. Okay, so verse 24 now. So Jairus came to Jesus, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. That's a difficult situation. There was a multitude. A multitude is actually 3,000 people. They were following Jesus. Thronging means they were pushing and jostling and jostling. So it was tight squeeze. Look at the next verse. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better but rather grievous. Yep. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the midst of the crowd. So a tight squeeze. The only people closest to Jesus mostly were his disciples, who obviously were trying to protect him because the crowd was much. Yet Jesus was not focused on the crowd. He was focused on Jairus' house. Because Jairus spoke words that lined up with what Jesus was meant to do. Jesus was supposed to be in a teaching meeting. Jairus came and interrupted the meeting with his faith. Jesus had what needed to be had. And Jesus said, thank God. I've been teaching since. Somebody understands. Let's go. That's what happened. I mean, Jesus thought and thought and thought for 3 days. We didn't hear there were miracles. We only hear people were fed. And this is the power of God on two legs. Then they came the next day, and Jesus said, you didn't come because of the message. It's the food you heard before. You want another free food? Labor not for the meat that perishes. So Jesus had meetings. He thought for long. He said, this is what they were hungry, man. This is the thought they have been teaching. They were listening to teaching. Nobody got well. Here we have people who came a few minutes, and in a few minutes of believing, they received. Or their faith created an atmosphere for God's power to work. But the power was present. But there was no sign. So this woman came in the press. And she had said something before she came. The Amplified says, for she kept saying. So from her house till she got to Jesus, she kept saying, if I may touch but his clothes. So she also processed how the healing will manifest. She didn't say Jesus will touch me. One of these is because she's not meant to be seen in the midst of the crowd. The law calls her unclean because of the issue of blood. The law is not kind to women. I used to go to a church where... oh my goodness. Unkind to women. If a woman is observing her monthly cycle, she must not come to church. She must not come. You know what they are doing? Old Testament. Carry it over. Now, so, at least a monthly cycle is monthly. This woman, 12 years, non-stop. What was she meant to be saying as she's coming? Unclean, unclean, unclean. To people. And she came in the midst of the press. So, the unclean has touched many people. In pushing to her, because it was just one target. If I touch... Are you like saying this way? If you have that kind of situation for 12 years, they will know you. You will be known. She has suffered many things of many physicians, so they will know you. That's that woman with issue of blood. We don't even have a name. What's the name? First name woman, second name, issue of blood. How does she have any name? What's her name? Woman, issue of blood. That's all we know. Our plan must have been, if I can touch, by the time they catch me and I'm examined, I will have been healed. But if they catch her, she'll be stoned. But if they catch me and there's no sign and I'm already healed, I'll be free of the law. And the Bible says she came in the press, for she kept saying, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be restored to health. She kept saying, next verse, please. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was what? And she felt in. When the feeling comes, when she touched. But her faith was not in the feeling. Her faith was in the touch. Or her faith brought the power into manifestation. How do we know the power was not in manifestation? Because people were thronging Jesus. They were pushing him. None of them got healed. And Jesus had power. So much power, his clothes were soaked with it. And a woman came. So the power can be there. Without faith, it won't be seen or known or experienced or touched or felt. It won't be. I want you to see something. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 35. Quickly. Yeah. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I usually like saying this way. You had a situation, then you prayed, and it got worse. All you feel like doing, saying, my prayer is not working. That's exactly what happened. You had a situation. It was a situation. When you hear your daughter is not dead, it's not a calamity. It was a situation. When you had, then while you are not seeing the situation, you have prayed, or you have called on the name of the Lord. You now heard that you don't need the master any further. For your daughter is now dead. Look at Jesus' response. As soon as Jesus had that, you can tell words are not a joke. Words are very important in this process. As soon as Jesus had what was spoken, he didn't turn to those who spoke. He turned to the one who had believed. And Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. The words they came to say transmitted fear. You know, and sometimes that's what the doctor's report does. I mean, the doctors mean well. Don't go to the hospital and be rebuking doctors. I will not die. Jesus, it's not for the doctors. It's for you. Understand doctors are doing their job. What should a sound believer do when they're giving you that kind of report? You go into a corner. You state what the report should be. You state your reality. Words are important. Words convey fear of life. Of boldness. Jesus turned to him. You know why? All the while Jesus was following Jairus was in faith. What was Jairus' faith? You will come, you will lay your hands, she will be healed. What did they say? Don't trouble the master any further, or he's beyond help. I post on Instagram as I was meditating this afternoon, and I said, if they tell you at the hospital any place, except the miracle happens, start dancing. Your father is the worker of miracles. When men tell you, except a miracle happens, you know what they're trying to say? You are beyond help. No, you are within help now. Because your father is the worker of miracles. So when they tell you, in their own life, what they're trying to say is that, except a miracle, thank God though. Except a miracle. That's exactly where I am. I was born by a miracle. I have a history of miracles. My origin is a miracle. I hail from a miracle working God. Miracles is what we eat for lunch and supper. You understand? He said, I'm in a very good. Did you say a miracle? I will have it. That's exactly what I'm going to have. I will have a miracle. Hallelujah. That's not when you now start doing, they say accept a miracle. Don't start dancing. Have you forgotten who you are? Your father works miracles. You know, seen doctors say those times, madam. So, have you had any children? Yeah, what if I, because. Accept God. Thank you for saying that. Accept God. That's exactly what's going to happen. I have God. So the very best is going to happen now. That miracle you were saying, that we are going to have it now. And it's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Be not afraid. Only believe. Or stay with what you said before. What did you say? You will come. You will lay. She shall live. Forget about what they just said. What you said before was enough. Don't say anything more. You know, there's a time not to say more. You just say what you said before. Because if you say anything now, you will countermand what you initially said. So there's a time when you are not as bold as you started out. What do you say? Keep quiet. Don't say anything. Just hold on to what you said initially. Because if you're in a pressing situation like that, you will want to now speak in line with what they just said. You want to adjust what you said. What you said, we create the atmosphere for what you believe. And what you believe will come to pass. You are trusting God for twins. You now say that, it's like one chip is closed. But anything can happen. You can still have a chance. You now want to argue that even if I can only have one, no, you said you wanted twins. A closed tube does not affect the father. It doesn't mean anything to God. It's a scientific term. That's what it is. No tube, babies come. You know what I said? No tube, not closed tube, no tube, babies will come. If it's God's power, babies will come. No tube. So, you know, they said, I have only one. And that's medically. That's so that you can magnify the miracle when it comes. No tube. I saw a testimony of a particular couple, and they were talking about how a medical procedure had to remove the woman's womb and everything like that. And now that they have a baby, it was a scientific miracle because the doctor saw not the womb which he had removed, but a special pouch inside the woman carrying the baby. And they didn't know where the pouch came from. And they knew the pouch was in the womb. And they had the baby according to the word of the Lord. So when they tell you, except a miracle, what do you do? Start dancing. Because that's exactly what you are going to have. Your father works miracles. God is never late. He's always on time. He's always on time. Now, this is an aside. But sometimes demonic issues have to be dealt with. I head up a family for 11 years. No marriage in that family. In 1 year, 13 marriages. You know what that means? It's not one marriage a month, though. Some months in between. In that family, they have not had marriages for 11 years in that family. No female was there. When the yoke was broken in 1 year, who tells you God came late? He never comes late. He's always on time. When those men brought news, don't trouble the master. If he was healing now, he can help you. Now she's dead. Jesus, no, it doesn't change anything. As you have said before, she will leave. What you said there, she will leave. Is that what you said? Let's go there. And Jesus got there and raised her because you said she will leave. So let me ask you a question. What are you saying? What are you saying? With respect to God's power, when it comes to healing, what exactly are you saying? Your faith will create an atmosphere for God's power to work. What exactly are you saying? Don't downgrade your faith. Because God's power will match up to your confession. It will match up to your confession. So what exactly are you saying concerning healing when it comes to you? And you know, whether you have ailment or not, you have to keep your words ensuring God's power is constantly at work in and through you. Constantly. God's power is working in my body. My kind is never sick. I'm experiencing health and oldness all the days of my life. Throughout this year, I will not need to take medication because I'm already taking medication, the word of God, and it's working mightily in my body. I will not need to visit the hospital to be admitted. I will walk in sound health all through this year. In this year, 2021, I'll be strong and sound in my health all my days. I will know no day of weakness. I'll be as strong as an ox, doing God's will and fulfilling God's purpose. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are using your words to draw God's power and to bring about exactly what God wants you to have. I tell myself, God kept 3 million people for 40 years in the wilderness. There was none feeble among them. And they are not new creations. They are not sons of God. But you are a son of God. And God kept 3 million people for 40 years. Every day miracle. He kept their shoes growing on their feet for 40 years. There was no cobbler in the wilderness. But their feet, their shoes were growing along with their feet. They were shielded from the archery of the sun by a cloud during the day. They had a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire at night so that they could see. And he did it for 40 years. So can you see that whatever you're asking God for is not a big deal? It's not a big deal. Only believe. Be not afraid. Only what? Believe. So use your words to convey the right things. Use your word to declare the realities you expect to have. Because God is not limited. God is not limited. God is not limited at all. You want twins, receive twins. You can plan it. The first will be a boy, the second will be a girl. You can have it. Someone says, can I dictate the sex? Oh yes. You can. You can. You can decide. You can. This as you want it. What do you want that I should do for you? That's what Jesus kept asking. So I have the power, but what are you ready to receive after the power? That's what it means. The power is here, but what will you receive out of that power? You are the one that will fill in the blank space. I want twins. I want this. I want that. I want a new heart. I want a strong body. I want a sound mind. You just fill it in with your words. And the power of God will meet up with your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray a short prayer tonight. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I walk in miracles. My Father provides for me miraculously in every area of life. I do not want for direction. I do not want for wisdom. I do not want for leading. Miraculously, God's power meets me at every turn, meets me at every point of need. I am a child of a miracle-working God. My Father works miracles, and I walk in miracles which my Father works in my life. My life is not ordinary. I'm never stranded. I'm never stuck. I'm never without. I have abundance in every area because my Father works miracles for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.